Good morning. Welcome to Engage Church. I love that name, by the way. I love our sign out there. My name is Pastor Mike, and I'm excited to see each of you every Sunday. It's not just the new people I'm excited to see. I'm excited to see Doug every Sunday. I'm excited to see Vicky. I'm John. John and Rochelle have a really funny story this morning. Just ask Rochelle about it after church. I'll just leave you in suspense. Go talk to Rochelle. She's down in nursery. It's a really worthwhile story, isn't it, John? Yeah, it is. So anyways, thank you for joining us today. Now, last week we started a new series. It was going to be a three-part series, but I kind of feel like God's directing a little different direction here. So it's become a two-part series on the altar. So we're looking at the altar, what it is, Old Testament versus the New Testament, and how we can approach the altar, how we can approach Jesus daily, and how it has everything to do with the condition of our hearts. Today, we're gonna do something that I've never really done before. We're going to explore the text of Romans 12, verses 1 through 2. We are going to dive deep into Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. What it means to be a living sacrifice, how it's about laying our lives in totality, completely, fully on the altar every single moment of our lives. Sacrificing at the altar is a heart issue. This is a commitment. This is a lifestyle. It's a way of life. And it should be everything we do. The thing that I want to stick in your brain the most today is this: offer yourself to God, not the world. Offer yourself to God, not the world. If you have your Bible with you today, and I hope you do, you hear me say this all the time, but I want you to bring your Bibles. I want you to get used to carrying that Bible with you. If you don't have it with you, I hope someone next to you has one that they'll share with you. And if you have a Bible, open it to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. It will be on the overhead as we proceed. Now, while you're looking for your spot, let's just talk for a second what the biblical idea of sacrifice is. In the Old Testament, sacrifice was a physical sacrifice on the altar. It was generally grain, or it was an animal given in place of the person offering it to be made right before God. I am so thankful that in the New Testament, Jesus was our ultimate sacrifice. Amen. Jesus paid the price. Jesus made a way for us. And so it moved it from a physical sacrifice to a spiritual sacrifice. And that spiritual sacrifice needs to be present in our daily lives. Let's get to our scripture this morning. It says this, Romans 12, verses 1 through 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. This should be a familiar verse for many of you. Paul's counsel to believers in this verse is this: in order to put our faith into practice, so we have faith, we believe that Jesus died and rose again, for us to put it into practice, each of us needs to give our body, mind, and will to God. We must give of ourselves to God. Offering ourselves to God, all that we are, everything, every fiber of who we are, everything that we do, if we give it all to Him, it allows Him to transform us into the image of His Son, Jesus. Please keep in mind that this is a lifetime process. This does not happen one time. It is not overnight. It is a lifetime process of becoming into the image of Jesus. This lifetime process of presenting our bodies, ourselves, as a living sacrifice is covered in these two verses of Romans. Again, what I want you to walk away, I want this drilled into your head today. Offer yourself to God, not the world. Offer yourself to God, not the world. Let's dive into the scripture. I'm going to have the sections underlined, and hopefully you can see that well. We look at Romans 12:1, by the mercies of God, do you know that this is where we begin? We begin with God's mercy. Our understanding of God and our relationship to Him arise from His mercy, regardless of who we are. It is by His mercy. Our sins, what have they done? Our sins have locked us up. They've imprisoned us. They've separated us from God. Not a single one of us, on our own will, our own power, our own ability, can pull ourselves out of that sin. Not a single one of us is capable of doing that. The only means of escape of our sin is through God's mercy. Our own wisdom, our own goodness, our own religious zeal are completely inadequate and will always fail us. His mercy alone is what provides deliverance in our lives. Psalms 103 verse 10 says, you can write this down if you want to reference it later. Psalms 103 verse 10, it says, He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. I've got somebody in church today. I wonder how many others are in here today. Why? Because He is merciful. He extends His grace to us as well through His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, this goes back to another message, but it needs to be said. God's grace isn't earned. Instead, it's freely given. Because of the mercies of God, Paul says, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. The word present can also be translated, and depending on what version your Bible is, it could be present, it could be yield, it could be give, and it could be offer. So any one of those words, you could say to present your bodies, to offer your bodies, to yield your bodies. Giving ourselves as instruments of righteousness for His service, for God's purposes, for His will in our lives, pleases God and opens the door for victory over sin. This tells us that if we are struggling with sin, either one, we're trying to overcome that sin of our own ability, or we don't care, and we just keep messing with that same sin. Or two, that we need to yield, we need to give, we need to offer, we need to present ourselves as living sacrifices, wholly devoted to Him. We will, capital, we will see victory over sin. Offer yourself to God, not the world. Offer yourself to God, not the world. We go further. The words present, sacrifice, holy, and acceptable. These are all terms. If you're reading our Bible reading plan with us right now, we've just gone through Leviticus. We're starting Numbers. We're learning about all of these sacrifices and all the what's and what not's to do. We have read these words. We have read present. We've read sacrifice. We've read holy and acceptable. These are Old Testament terms that come from the Mosaic sacrificial system. The sacrificial system that was implemented under Moses, that God directed Moses to do for the Israelites. Did you know that this Mosaic sacrificial system was an early indication of the coming work of Jesus Christ? It pointed to the final sacrifice that would happen. So we should somewhat be familiar with these words because of our Bible reading plan, but because just generally we know that Jesus died and rose again for our sins. He was the sacrifice. The word present and offer, or offer, they're essentially interchangeable, if you will. It gives us the imagery of the priest receiving and consecrating the offering brought to the altar by the guilty one. So we offer and we give it to the priest and they consecrate it and they prepare it. It became God's possession the moment it was offered. It was that act of giving it. It became God's the moment it was offered. And this imagery illustrates what happens when we offer ourselves to God. We become God's possession. To reference one of last week's verses, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 through 20, it says, "We are no longer our own. Since we are bought at a price, and so we honor God in our bodies." Offer yourself to God, not the world. We move on to living sacrifice. Now, living sacrifice in itself is a contradictory expression, because sacrifice essentially means to kill. Obviously, we know when it came to the sacrificial animals, they all died, didn't they? So when we talk about a living sacrifice, it doesn't jive. But here's what Paul means by the term living sacrifice. As we identify ourselves with Christ, we die to our old life. We die to who we were. And now, as we devote ourselves fully to Him, we become living sacrifices that are pleasing to God. How then can we summarize the meaning of living sacrifices? How do we bring this to summary? We can look at how Paul described it to the Galatians when he wrote, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." That comes from Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Essentially, what he is saying is living wholly and totally for Jesus. We've all heard the term sold out, right?
Yep.
Sold out. Offer yourself to God, not the world. The word holy in Romans 12:1 describes God's righteous nature. Because God is holy, it also depicts a person or an object that is sanctified or set apart for God's use. So when we're reading through Leviticus, we saw that if something unholy touched something holy, what happened to the unholy thing? It became holy. Well, it became holy. Now, if it was an unclean thing, that was a different story. But it became holy. Now, there are instances where an unclean person, then it's unclean. But it's about the holiness. A person or an object that is sanctified or set apart for God's use. It became holy. In Christ, we are separated from our former way of life. For that I say, praise God, that I am separated from my former way of life, and we're given over to God for His service. We do not become Christians to sit here every Sunday and that's it. I can keep waiting until I get a couple more amens. Listen. Thank you. We become Christians because of God's grace in our life. Should we be quiet about that grace? We just talked about in our membership class this morning, one of the 16 fundamental truths of the Assemblies of God is the eternal hope. The blessed hope. Does anyone know what that is? That's eternity with Jesus Christ that we're all promised. Those who aren't in relationship with Jesus, they don't have a blessed hope. Do you have a family member that doesn't know Jesus? Do you have a friend that doesn't know Jesus? Do you have co-workers that don't know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? You see how I'm stitching this together. You know what's coming next, right? Then don't be quiet about Jesus. Share. If He has saved you from much, you have much to say. If He saved you from little, guess what? You have much to say. So we are separated from our former way of life and we're given over to God for His service. We should be telling everybody about the name of Jesus. Amen. This is what making Jesus Lord and Savior of our life means. It's no longer our life, but rather it's His life through us. Church, offer yourself to God, not the world. The word acceptable can also be pleasing. Acceptable or pleasing is also related to the Old Testament offering. We've read about it. Is God considered a burnt offering to be a pleasing aroma? Does everybody recall reading that in the last week? It's a pleasing aroma to Him. So He considers our offering of ourselves to Him to be an acceptable or to be a pleasing fragrance and a spiritual act of worship to Him. This word, the spiritual worship, which is your spiritual worship at the end of verse 1 there, that word spiritual, just a fun little, you can take this for trivia and give somebody trivia sometime. That word spiritual, it can also mean reasonable. Your reasonable act of worship. Because we're giving of ourselves to Him, and because of His mercies, it is our reasonable act of worship to give of ourselves of Him. Offer yourself to God, not the world. I hope you leave saying that today. I really do. Next is in verse 2. It says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind." Our relationship to God changes our relationship to the world. If we're to summarize it, that's what it means. If your relationship to the world does not change upon your relationship to God, something's not right. See, here's what Satan's goal is. He wants to blind unbelievers. He wants to blind their minds so they're unable to see the light of the gospel. They're unable to understand the truth of the gospel. But for those who hear the gospel and believe, God eliminates the darkness of sin and He shines His light in them. This idea of light and darkness. What is darkness? The absence of light. What is cold? The absence of heat. So darkness is an absence of God's presence in your life. And for those who hear the message, they accept the message, guess what? They become a new creation. They become new in Christ, and God restores to them what sin has destroyed. Did you know He wants us to be involved in the process of our restoration, though? We're not always immediately freed from whatever sins that we're forgiven for it, but we still might have habits or addictions or things in our life that still wreak havoc in our life. He wants us to be involved in that process of restoration. Paul goes on, and through this he exhorts us. He really pushes and wants us to understand that we need to resist the pattern of this world and submit ourselves to God. He does not say transform yourself. Joel, you know, if you just try harder, you could transform yourself. Mike, do you know if you just quit eating food, you would lose weight again? I mean, that is not a false statement at all, right? He doesn't say to transform yourself, but he says, but be transformed. This is something that we can't do of our own power or will. It is by the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Amen. And it's how we respond to the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, what happens in our transformation. So how does the Holy Spirit transform us? How are we to be transformed? Well, it's right there in Scripture. It is by the renewal of your mind. The Holy Spirit uses God's Word to do what? To renew our mind. He uses God's Word to renew us. Now, we'll dive a little bit deeper into the renewal aspect here in a minute. But if the Holy Spirit uses the Word to renew our mind and then to transform our lives, it is important. Listen, if you're not reading the Bible reading plan with us, I pray and hope to God you're picking up your Bible every single day and you are consuming His Word. Because if the Holy Spirit is using God's Word to transform us and to renew our mind, wouldn't it be reasonable for us to saturate our lives with His Word? Amen. The importance of saturating our minds is so we can, His thoughts can become our thoughts. His ways become our ways. And it's through reading, memorizing, and meditating on the Word that we begin to saturate ourselves with His Word. In this way, we will start to see a gradual change in our perspective. I've said this before, and I'll use it several times, but if your opinion does not match up with God's Word, guess what? You need to change your opinion. That's the thinking that starts to shift, that gradual change in how we view things, the perspective. As God changes the way we think, we'll begin to understand more clearly what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. This transforming process continues as we translate understanding, as we take what we are reading, we start to understanding, and we put it into living. So we understand and then we live, or to say it another way, we put action to what we have learned. If I throw a ball and it breaks the window, what should I have learned? Not to throw the ball at the window. Sometimes it takes two or three times to learn that. However, it's a gradual perspective change. To refer to Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 13, it says this, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure." I'm sorry, my nose just started running and I don't have any Kleenexes up here with me. The idea in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, supports what Paul means when he says to be transformed. And it's how God wants us to be part of the restoration transformation process. So I said a few minutes ago that God wants us to be part of this restoration process. This happens when we consume His Word. We let it change our minds. We are taking an active part in this process. It means that we are not passive and uninvolved. We have to be involved. If we take part of that process, God will create in us the desire to obey Him. And it provides the power for us to do so. So wouldn't it be reasonable for us to use every avenue possible to take the truths from the pages of God's Word and hide them in our hearts? One simple thing that we can do is read the Scriptures out loud. Read the Scriptures out loud. Because our eyes, don't we have to see to read unless we're blind and we read Braille, so don't. But our eyes have to read the Word, right? Then, if our eyes have to read the Word, and our mouth has to what? It has to speak the Word. And if our eyes are seeing and our mouth is talking, what are our ears doing? They're hearing the Word of God. Each of these become highways that carries God's truth from His Word to our heart. Through the Word, we can find out what pleases the Lord. And then we can do it. For example, you can write this down and go look at it later. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28, it says, and if you read it out loud, if you just read this quietly, it may not have any impact on you. If you read it out loud, it could have impact on you. As somebody who shares a past that I'm not proud of, okay? It says this, he who has been stealing must steal no longer. Now, if I read that out loud and heard that, and I was a thief, what do you think the Word of God is telling me to do? Stop being a thief. Stop stealing. Let me keep reading it. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. So a thief who reads these words and takes them to heart will inevitably, by God's grace, through the work of the Holy Spirit, change his lifestyle. He stops stealing and starts doing good by supporting himself with honest work and by earning enough to help those in need. This is what renewal of the mind for transformation is. Offer yourself to God, not the world. Now, let's dive a little bit deeper. I said we would come back to the renewal process. By the renewal of your mind, renewal involves a series of decisions. It starts with the first decision, which is when we made a decision to receive Christ Jesus as our Lord and Savior in our lives. It started with redemption. It started with forgiveness of sins. Now, if you don't know this, you're going to know this today. Redemption is available to all. If you didn't know that, this is a Christian 101 today. Listen, redemption is available to all. But only those who respond to Christ in faith are redeemed. In a similar way, the power of the Holy Spirit is available to all who have a relationship with Christ. The Holy Spirit enables us as believers to live a godly life. I used to have a bad mouth. A really bad mouth. I knew it was wrong. Didn't matter. I had a bad mouth. It wasn't until a scenario changed at the place I was working at where the Holy Spirit really convicted me and said, I'm about to reveal who you are to others if you don't get this corrected. And it was somebody close to me that would have been really disappointed in my language. You could have argued that they would have said, you're no Christian at all. By allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to me, and by listening to the correction of the Holy Spirit. I was able to understand what I was doing was wrong, and I was able to say, hey, Lord, I need you to help with this because I can't do it on my own, and to change the way my mouth was. So the Holy Spirit enables each Christian to live a godly life. So if you have sin in your life today, as a Bible-believing Christian, if you have an addiction in your life today, if you have something that separates you from the presence of God, the Holy Spirit can lead you to the choices that make you renewed. But each of us must seek what pleases Him. Not what pleases us, but pleases Him. Rejecting our own way and choosing His way. If I were to just very quickly share, I wanted to be a wildlife conservation officer. For those of you who don't know, I went to Iowa State. I was working on getting my degree for animal ecology so I could go on to become DNR. Really, I wanted to work out in Wyoming at some point. Here I am in New Sharon, pastor in a church. His way looks way different than mine. Through a series of things that happened in life, ultimately it led me here. But it was through obedience of His calling that ultimately led me here. As we grow in knowledge of the Lord and we walk with Him daily, we have the opportunity to renew our minds every single day. We have the opportunity to grow in grace every single day. We have the opportunity to grow in power of the Holy Spirit every single day. In this way, we become Christians who are living by the Spirit, and the Spirit brings victory. Offer yourself to God, not the world. So let us be sensitive to Him. Let us be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Allow Him to transform and renew our thinking and our living. Jesus has always demanded that we be all in. He has always demanded that we are all in following Him. He never made an exception. He never said, okay, you can keep doing this sin and be my father. He never said that. Never said that. He never asked for halfsies. He never said, give me half of who you are. He asked for all. He was all in. And I hope and pray that our scripture today from Paul, it should provide a theological framework for what it means for us to follow Christ totally and the consequential changes that it makes in a person's life. So the question that we're all faced with today, it's this. What are you willing to offer to God? What are you willing to present to God? This is for visual purposes. I promise I'm not going to hit anybody with this later. I like to play golf. Now, I'm terrible at it. Ask Brett, ask Joel, ask Tim. I'm terrible, but I have a lot of fun in being terrible. Because it's not about this, it's about playing with the guys. Okay? Am I willing to offer that to God? What is this? It's a silicone ring that's really hard to get off. Am I willing to give my marriage to the Lord? Am I willing to give my time to the Lord? I have a box here. Am I willing to give my phone to the Lord? What about my Billy Graham wisdom calendar? Am I willing to give my calendar to the Lord?
Am I willing to give my finances to the Lord? That is my checkbook, routing number, account number. Feel free to make deposits. No, I'm just joking. I was just trying to lighten the mood just a brief second there. But listen, who knows what this is? Motorcycle keys. If you know me, you know I love my motorcycle. Am I willing to offer that to the Lord if He asks me of it? I was going to Iowa State to become and get my degree in animal ecology to be a DNR officer. I love to hunt. Am I willing to give up my passions? Am I willing to give it to Him? Am I willing to offer my family? What are we willing to give to God? This is not every aspect, but this is a vast majority of who I am. Am I willing to give it to Him as a living sacrifice to be a better tool for Him? Does any of this matter if my relationship with God falters? I so desire to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I don't want to hear, "Get away from me, I never knew you." So what this is offering God everything that I am. Because without Him, guess what? It doesn't matter.
Amen.
Not a bit of it matters. Family doesn't matter if I don't have God at the forefront. Doesn't matter. My marriage will fail without God at the forefront. Time will control me if I don't give my time. Listen, folks, we could do this all day. Offer yourself to God, not the world.
Amen.
The world would have me go out and buy a better putter than this Wilson beginner's kit from Shields. But guess what? It works. We've had some laughs, haven't we, guys? At my expense half the time, but it's all right. But the world would say, "I need to go spend, what, $300 for a new putter? Is that reasonable, or is that not even touching it? Reasonable?" We got the professionals back there shaking their head yes, so that was a good guess.
Hand-me-downs
are great. So, listen, church. Are we willing to offer all that we are to God at the altar? Are we willing to give Him everything that defines us? Offer yourself to God, not the world. Joel, if you want to come on up. So church, let us choose to be all in. Let us choose to offer ourselves. I just lost my notes there. Let us choose to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice to God. Can we commit to opening His Word every single day? Can we commit to being in prayer? Can we communicate with God? Can we sing His praise? Can we worship Him? Now, yes, we're getting ready to worship. But that's not what I'm talking about. Because guess what? In the church, it's kind of what's expected, right? We expect to sing songs in church. We expect to have a worship service. But instead, are we willing to sing His praise outside of these walls?
Amen.
Are we willing to sing of His goodness and His glory outside of these walls? True godly worship involves a lifestyle that brings honor to Christ in words and actions. Our reasonable act of worship is to worship God. and that's through the transformation, the renewal, and offering of ourselves to Him. Church, we must offer ourselves as living sacrifices. We must. We must offer ourselves. It's our spiritual act of worship. It's our reasonable act of worship because of God's mercy. To a world that is in dark, I think we can all admit there's darkness all around us. To a world that's blinded by sin, we call right wrong and wrong right today, don't we? We have a blinding of this generation to what sin is, and they desperately, desperately need to hear the gospel message. They need to step into the light. And if we as a church, if we as believers, we are united in this church under two things: the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. God didn't give exclusions. He didn't say, if you're 60 years old, this doesn't pertain to you. He didn't say, if you're in first grade, this doesn't pertain to you. He spoke to all believers. So if we want to carry out, as a church, the Great Commandment and the Great Commission, we want to do it through, it froze, engaging our community for Jesus. That's what it should be up there right now. Engaging our community for Jesus. We must be completely devoted to loving Him, to live by His standards, serve His purposes in our lives, and through allowing the Holy Spirit to transform and to renew us, to make us more like the image of Jesus Christ. So church, offer yourself to God, not the world. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes this morning. We cannot be renewed or transformed. We cannot be a living sacrifice without first being in a relationship with the Lord Jesus. When we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and we believe in our hearts that God raised Him from the dead, what does Scripture tell us? We will be saved. So whether this is in a brand new way, you've never asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, maybe this isn't a fresh way, maybe like me, you made choices as a young person and then you spent your whole your teenage years and young adult years being a fool and making a lot of mistakes and not living out your faith. So maybe this isn't a fresh way. You're saying, Lord, I need to renew this with You today. Will You choose to live your life for Jesus? Will You choose to make Him Lord and Savior of your life today? If that's you, would you please just raise your hand, put it back down. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Amen. Church, would you join with me? Would you repeat with me this prayer? Dear Jesus, thank You for dying on the cross as a sacrifice for my sins. Please forgive me. Help me to become a new creation. I confess with my mouth that You are Lord, and I believe that You were raised from dead. Help me to tell others this truth. Use me, change me, and from this moment on, I give myself to You as a living sacrifice. In Jesus' name, amen. Three people raise their hands. So guess what? We talked about in membership class today. What happens when we confess Jesus as Lord and Savior?
Your name is now written in a heavenly book that can't be erased. That when Jesus comes and the final judgment happens, He's turning through those pages and He sees your name. And He says, come on in. Ain't nobody going to erase that name from the book of life. Your name is there forever. And I say that's worth another celebration of three people saying, I need the Lord Jesus. So church, here's how I want to end today. Can you be challenged? Are we okay with the challenge today? What haven't you laid at the altar? What haven't you trusted to God? What are you choosing to hang on to instead of just giving it to Him? What are you trying to figure out on your own versus saying, God, I trust You? What sin are you struggling with that the Holy Spirit is saying, enough? This morning, as we close in a song, we talked about this as the altar last week. It's not biblically accurate as an altar, but it's a place that we come to be consecrated and to sit in His presence. Let me just encourage you, if you can say any one of those questions I just asked, the Holy Spirit is prompting your heart, you need to come. You need to approach the altar. You need to trust Him. You need to give it to Him. And you need some freedom in your life. You need some renewal in your life this morning. You need a transformation to happen. Here's what I know. He'll never fail us. So as the worship team leads us, let's stand to our feet. We're going to pray. And I would just encourage you to respond. Heavenly Father, Lord, You know all of our hearts in here today. Lord, You know each one of us more intimately than we know ourselves. And Father, I pray right now that You're speaking to us. You're challenging us. You're saying, hey, I've been trying to get You to respond to this for however much time. Would You do it today? Lord, I pray that You would give us the strength and the courage to respond and to say, Lord, I'm all in. That we would bring whatever this is to the altar and say, Lord, we trust You with it. And Lord, I pray for those that respond, I just pray for Your blessing to pour upon them. Lord, I pray that they would start to see You working in their lives in ways that they've never seen because they're finally letting go of this peace that You've asked of them. Lord, we love You. We're excited to see what You're going to do. In Jesus' precious name, amen.